We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
4th of July, like, yep. NBA free agency gets underway, and then it's just mayhem. It's just a mad dash. Guys changing cities, a bunch of trades happening. I like that the Hawks got out in front of it, because one thing we talked about yesterday, Sam, was with the DeJounte Murray availability becoming public, you knew other teams were going to try to swoop in there and get involved. The Knicks tried. The Hawks beat the Knicks again.
How about that?
You got to enjoy that.
We talked about it. Always good when you can beat the Knicks.
We'll get you a Braves 3-up, 3-down as well at 11:40. Three good Braves topics every single day at that time as the Braves look to sweep the Phillies tonight and make it 7 out of 10 in this tough stretch of games against, you know, pretty good baseball teams in the National League. We haven't talked about this yet. We'll spend a little bit of time here at top of the 11 o'clock hour and then get into an NFL no huddle. The Freddie Freeman saga continues to have more chapters. I saw Grant McCauley tweet out yesterday, it's got more chapters than the Skywalker legacy or something. I didn't really, it was a Star Wars reference. I assume that that's a great Star Wars reference, knowing that it's Grant, but I didn't really get it. But yeah, the latest of the idea that his agent didn't tell him about the final offer that the Braves made because he knew he would take it and withheld information from him like that. Doug Gottlieb tweets this out yesterday. And
wow.
You know, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I took it with a grain of salt because it was Doug Gottlieb. I'm not like, you know, who knows? Like, that guy's not breaking news a lot. Plus, he's not always the most, like, reputable source. But if that is true, that's outrageous. The agent and agency did respond to that on Twitter and said they're going to pursue legal action against Doug Gottlieb for that incorrect information. We'll see. But if that's true, I mean, it explains the anger and explains firing the agent earlier this week, and it just adds another layer to this story that's crazy, man. I can't believe this thing, the way that this thing has played out. And honestly, I can't believe we're sitting here on June 30th still talking about it.
Yeah, I know it, but it is news, and it continues to evolve. Other things tend to come out. If that's the case, my goodness, not just the agent, but the whole agency now is going to be under the magnifying glass. They have to do something to try to defend themselves in this situation. But I mean, if that's happening. And you talk to other clients that they have, and a lot of people know that Dansby Swanson is a client of this agency. A lot of guys are going to be looking at things, especially. But once again, we talked about it yesterday. Maybe Freddie was a little more trusting. It maybe he should have been.
It definitely seems that way.
You know,
like a little more hands off than you'd want to be in the, you know, the final big contract of your career.
You know, I'm paying my guy. I'm gonna let my guy take. I'm paying him to do a job. I'm gonna let him do the job.
Yeah. Yeah, and especially if, because, you know, there was an interview with Chipper Jones right after it happened where Chipper talked about, I told Freddie, like, it's a business. You got to be careful. They will move on. Like, if you play hardball, these guys have jobs to do. Alex Anthopoulos has to build a baseball team that will win and also keep his job. Like, Alex Anthopoulos has to not get fired also. So, you know, you got to keep that. You can't be too cocky or confident or nonchalant or whatever. Like, they will move on. The world continues on without you. People find out, you know, in all different walks of life. Like, everybody thinks they're irreplaceable at work. Find out you're not. Like, the world will keep spinning without you, whether you're Freddie Freeman or whoever.
And maybe that thought was there and had it, but purely after what happened last weekend, it still made you reflect. If you're Freddie, if you're his family, you come here and you see that, you know, you hadn't been back to see it and feel it. And that's what made it really real, and I think really caused this reaction that we saw. Yeah, right. It is a business, and people have to make moves and go on. Here's someone that's become like an iconic figure, not just on the team, but in our community. And he came back and really felt that.
I do wonder how often that happens, because there was some conversation last night as well about, you know, I guess Chipper Jones, when he was negotiating his contract back in 2000, something like this sort of happened. Like, there was an offer that his agent didn't relay to him, and he fired his agent, and then he ended up hiring B.B. Abbott, who is, I believe, Matt Olson's agent now, and he's been an agent for some other guys, but he ended up firing his agent because everything wasn't transparent and everything wasn't communicated. I mean, we don't know until we know on stories like this, right? Like, this could happen. I don't know. This could happen frequently, and no one ever knows because the information never becomes public. The contract just gets signed, and that's that.
Yeah.
Like, if this really did happen, I mean, it's going to come down to Freddie confirming it, essentially. I don't think we'll ever know all the ins and outs, like the kind of the gruesome details of how all this stuff played out. We probably never will. But if this is true, they are probably going to lose clients. Like, they got to do everything they can to defend themselves against this if it isn't true. But yeah, I mean, that's bad business, and that's how you cost yourself money and cost yourself clients down the road if it is true.
Absolutely, absolutely. That word gets around. As guys pass come into the league, they go in different directions. So I mean, if it didn't happen, if that's not the case, they need to get out in front of it. Well, now it's too late to get out in front of it.
Yeah,
they got to do some fence mending.
Here's the thing, though, from our perspective, this is it, right? Like, that's kind of the last chapter as far as the Braves are concerned. Like, I think Freddie's still got to deal with this, and that clubhouse in L.A. still has to deal with it and all that kind of stuff. But, like, okay, like, they're not voiding the contract. They're not trading anyone to get him back. Like, Freddie's a Dodger. Matt Olson's a Brave.
Right.
Matt Olson's an excellent player. He's on track to set the franchise record for extra base hits in a season. Like, Matt Olson's doing a great job. Like, it's over with. Like, Freddie may be back in the playoffs to play the Braves if the Dodgers get there and the Braves get there and they meet up. But, like, I don't know. Is that it? Are we done? Are we on to the next thing with the Braves, or is there going to be more somehow to where the story continues?
I think the only time it comes back up, and we've talked about this a lot over the last couple of weeks, is the All-Star game. Because I think Snicker's going to have a decision between Freddie and somebody else, and probably a Brave, and probably Austin Riley.
So that's like 3 weeks.
And that's going to be exactly.
Stay tuned.
And it just feels like, you know, if the Braves stay on their trajectory and the Dodgers continue what they're going to do, it feels like these teams are going to meet in the playoffs.
It seems
inevitable that that's going to happen again.
I remember when they met that first time, however many years ago it was, and it just felt like, okay, the Braves are building what it looks like they're building. The Dodgers are the Dodgers. Like, these guys are going to play each other a ton in the playoffs over the next 5 to 10 years. And it's played out that way. The three of the last 4 years they have. Wouldn't be surprised if they do again this year. I mean, they're the two franchises in the National League that are built to last and play against each other. And it seems like that's the way it's going to go. The other thing about that, Brian, is, I mean, this is a juicy, kind of salacious story that baseball does not get all the time. This is going to be a big talking point during the All-Star. Remember last year's All-Star game, finally Shohei Ohtani got the love that he deserved. This might be the thing that they talk about at the All-Star game on the broadcast. Like, this might kind of carry the day as far as narratives go when you get there, because it'll be in L.A. again.
Well, speaking of L.A., that's where the Dodgers are now, and they're playing the Padres. Oh, by the way, just a game and a half back of them. What a time to have something that might cause a little friction or turmoil in your clubhouse, right?
Yep, that's my hope.
You're facing these guys that are close in your rearview mirror. So, I mean, that's what they're dealing with now.
Mm-hmm. That's my hope, is all this Freddie stuff somehow unintentionally causes a rift in the Dodgers clubhouse, and it tears their – how many years have they been in the playoffs in a row? 11, 12, something like that? Tears them apart.
That's a terrible thing to say. Because
Freddie's a Manchurian candidate.
Because that's totally the antithesis of how we've seen Freddie Freeman. He's always been this guy that galvanizes people. But think he's going to go there and make the Dodgers destruct. I don't know what's going to happen. But like I said, it is kind of interesting time for that to happen with the Padres being in town.
All right. We'll get back to the Braves and the Braves 3 up, 3 down at 11:40. 3 good Braves topics every day at that time. Coming off 2 straight wins over the Phillies, looking to make it a sweep tonight. Let's get to an NFL no huddle.
We're going no huddle.
With the midday show, no huddle.
The best the NFL has to offer.
Let's go now. Let's go.
Set. All right. So we'll update this every day until there's no more updates to give. The Deshaun Watson hearing ongoing. The rumor now is that the NFL may be willing to agree to that 6 to 8 game range for a suspension. Deshaun Watson's camp, the NFLPA, still pushing for 0. A couple days ago, kind of sounded like the momentum was headed towards indefinite, starting with a year. But over the last 24 hours, it's looked more like 6 to 8 games. We'll see. We still don't know. There's still the hearings are ongoing and all that kind of stuff. I did want to get into this because running back Travion Williams of the Bengals is going to co-teach a class on name, image, and likeness at Texas A&M's law school that, you know, anyone can take, but also players can take if they want to learn a little bit more about that. Marcus Mariota, Falcons quarterback, is a part of the Oregon Football Collective with Phil Knight and Tinker Hatfield and some other big players over there. Marcus Mariota, sort of the you know, the former player, current pro athlete part.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That collective maybe to give some guidance to some of these guys. And I know you had a chance to go to the NIL Summit that was here in town a couple weeks ago as we all just kind of wrap our minds around this thing and learn more about it.
Absolutely. And I mean, we hear it about the big money that's supposed to be out there that's being thrown around at some places for the football players and whatnot. The thing I like about NIL, though, is that it's still an opportunity to learn. It's an opportunity to learn and to establish that next act in your life. So many times we wait until the ball stops bouncing or whatever, and now what do I do? So it's an opportunity to really find out some things, and I applaud, you know, Williams for doing that, you know, and being and plugging himself in out of Texas A&M and giving some guys an opportunity, and just student athletes, period, could be men or women, to make the most of their name, image, and likeness, to use it the right way. And what it really does also is it teaches the guys who are coming in at the high school level. The parents always have to know to keep your social media up. You know, put good stuff on there. Keep the knuckleheads off of it. You know what I mean? Because now it could cost you money. So there's a lot of learning to go along with this, and what it can do is always a good thing. Like I said earlier, though, like I said yesterday, the big money cats are throwing the catches to these guys. They're going to put their wallets back in the pocket if these guys don't pan out and hit the transfer portal, a lot of them.
Did your perception at all change, or your thought process at all change on the NIL after you went to the summit, kind of learned, talked to people, and just maybe got more information on it a little bit? And if so, how?
I think that helps to go in and talk to some of the people. Influencer is an organization based out of Birmingham that was really front and leading the way. And they really, at the time of the Ed O'Bannon uh-huh. case, started getting prepared for this. They knew that something was going to have to happen to compensate the student athletes, and so they got a one stop shop right now. I mean, they got ahead of the curve. If you want the paperwork handled, you want your tax stuff handled, just go out and play ball. These guys are doing it, and so you saw a lot of student athletes who were not just in the major sports but in all sports find ways to use what they're doing. If you're on the equestrian team, well, who sells saddles? Who sells things to take care of horses? Do they want you to be a representative? And so the possibilities are almost endless, but you got to be in an environment around a think tank where people are getting people to think that way.
Yeah, for sure.
Sam, do you think this is going to be covered high school sports and high school football in the state of Georgia extensively. Do you see this happening potentially in a place maybe like Gwinnett County where you have an NIL class? It's like an elective. Do you think it gets to that point, especially in a state like Georgia, you know, California, Texas, Florida, maybe Ohio, Pennsylvania, those big recruiting areas? Do you see that's something happening in the future?
You know, I each and every year I attend the Athletic Directors Conference down in Savannah with all the athletic directors from all the high schools and school systems throughout the state of Georgia. And this has definitely been a topic that they've talked about, ways that they could prepare for it and implement it within some of the school systems, because the whole state gets recruited. And for everything,
right.
You know, everything gets recruited in Georgia. And so to be able to offer that, for the students, but also for the parents, so that they get informed too. So I think I can see that very much happening, especially here in the Metro Atlanta area. This area is so recruited, so well recruited for everything.
Full ignorant question here.
Yeah,
is it legal to get name, image, and likeness deals in high school in the state of Georgia? I know it is in some states and not in others. Is it?
I don't see it as long as it's not coming from the school.
Okay.
I mean, if you're going out and you're getting something, if you know somebody, you're an athlete in a certain school, and you know someone whose dad has a company or business, and they want you to say something for it on your social, I don't see where that hurts.
Yeah, and they were one of the states that it went into effect on July 1st of 2021, so they're about to come up on a year of being able to capitalize on that. Yeah, because to your point, there's a handful of states that
Texas,
aren't.
Texas, you can't.
Yeah. No, Georgia seemed like they probably went out of their way to make sure, you know. Let's get this done, guys.
All right, while we're doing that, let's make gambling legal.
Yeah,
too.
come on. It's hard to group those together. Yeah, the high school kid and all that. But yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, but it's not.
Let's just bring it on in.
You know what I mean? Let the kids endorse casinos.
Yep.
What could go wrong?
Nah.
What could go wrong? All right. Hey.
No, man.
Caller number 23 right now, 404-741-0929. I want to help out the people listening on the Odyssey app.
Okay. Because
there's a little bit of a time gap between when they hear us and when we're live.
Okay.
So even if you're listening on the Odyssey app, you have a chance to win a $150 gift card to Fogo to Sean. Caller number 23 right now is getting $150 courtesy of us, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Trillville Thursday. Shout out to Eric in Ellenwood. Congratulations. You're going to Fogo to Sean, courtesy of the midday show with Andy and Randy. And you got $150 in your pocket to spend when you get there.
Oh, yeah.
Did he mention whether or not he was going to take Sam with him or just going to probably take his wife, maybe?
It just seemed implied.
Oh, it's implied. Okay.
Yeah, that Sam was coming.
Cool, man. Well, congratulations to Sam, too. You got like $75 to Fogo to Sean.
Nice. Very nice. I appreciate that.
20 minutes away from a Braves 3-up, 3-down. We'll get into three good Braves topics every single day at that time as the Braves look to make it 3 straight against the Phillies tonight and sweep them. But first, before we do that, Tanitra Batiste steps in studio to talk some Atlanta Hawks with us. And haven't had a chance to talk to Tanitra in a little while. We obviously would have you in once a week to talk Hawks during the season. It's been a while since, obviously, the season ended. And, well, yesterday was pretty fun.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
What was your reaction when you actually saw the news confirm that they had made the trade for DeJounte Murray?
And I hate to sound like a homer, but utter and complete joy. Like, I don't think I've been that excited because, hey, I was like everybody else. I had my popcorn all ready for the draft. Now, don't get me wrong. I was pleased with where the Hawks went for the draft, but that didn't excite me per se.
Right.
When the talk and the commentary started coming, I actually thought about you, Andy, because Sam, Andy and I had hopes, dreams, and aspirations for Derek White at the trade deadline.
We didn't get what we wanted, right?
Mm-hmm. So,
but that was better than
this. I was about to say, it's almost like somebody said, you know what? We're going to give you your beauty for your ashes because you didn't get Derek White. So guess what?
We're giving
you guys DeJounte Murray. Yes, yes, yes. Two-way play in the building.
Yeah, I did a little fist bump at the house.
Oh, yeah.
I was pretty excited.
Oh, my goodness. I was so excited. And it looks like Trae Young is pretty excited, too, about this particular move. I know you guys have talked about what he posted on Twitter. And it was interesting because I went back to that All-Star game, right? I had an opportunity to see that game up close and personal. And so that was like one of my first intros to DeJounte Murray. And I can actually remember seeing him not just banter with Trae on the court, but also behind the scenes as well. So they were starting to kind of develop that rapport. And then just to have an opportunity, I played a cut earlier early in the morning show program of an assist, you know, a Murray to Trae situation. And I'm like, wow, we didn't even know we got a little, you know, piece there, a little like peek into what's happening. And then, of course, doing the in-game analyst work for the Hawks and being on the floor and seeing DeJounte Murray. I just remember, I can't repeat what I said to my boss.
No, you can't.
All I remember in that game is saying, get him. I'm just going to put euphemistic words on.
But there was the highlight that a handful of NBA accounts decided to use yesterday. They're teammates now. But if DeJounte he made Trae fall. Lasker crossed him over and put him on his backside. And that was the highlight, I guess, they decided they wanted to show now that they're teammates.
Right.
Wow. But, yeah, I mean, like, DeJounte has given Trae trouble, throughout the years, which you get. Like, he's a bigger body guard who can handle it, kind of defend a little bit.
Yes.
I'm sure one of the many reasons why Trae is excited to have him on the team is he doesn't have to play against him anymore.
Right, for starters. Exactly. I don't have to go up against this guy. This guy is actually going to help to guard against the guys who go up against me and bruise and brutalize me. You know, game in and game out. And it's interesting because as I started kind of looking back at his tape and kind of looking at his background, I said, for me, I know defense doesn't necessarily completely win championships in the NBA, but you at least have to be respectable.
Oh, yeah.
And when we look back at why the Hawks were able to go on the run that they did, when we look back at regular season last year versus postseason, and they started moving up towards that top 10 in defense, this is what you desperately needed in the backcourt. And not only do you get that defender who obviously gives Trae help in the backcourt, but to your point, because of that wingspan and how big-bodied he is, he can give you some of what you need with whoever stays in that wing space for the Hawks. He can give you that the Hawks so desperately need to defend on the wing.
Well, this is a joy, folks. I don't get to hang out with Tanitra. I'm here. We're here in the Kia Studios, Tanitra Batiste. And by the way, she is social. You can find her on Twitter at Tanitra Batiste, all lowercase. Look. We talked about the mix, bringing Murray in now with Trey. We saw what happened in the Miami series. They threw the kitchen sink at Trey, and the offense disappeared. We know that both this, one of the keys to Miami and Boston is the way they were able to extend their defense out and really stifle those guys like you from outside. Now we got somebody to keep folks honest, and I think that's going to be a big plus too.
And also we looked at one of the things that the Warriors were able to exploit with the Celtics, and that's turn them over. I mean, it was picking pockets all day, every day. And this guy is a steals leader for 2022 across the entire NBA. And then you look back at what he was doing just – couple seasons back, and he's second team all NBA, and then was actually aggravated that he didn't quite get that honor this season. So I'm like, yeah, I love when people have something to prove on the defensive end of the court with a team like this who's thirsty for someone who's committed to defense.
What do you think it does for Trey specifically? I mean, I know we're talking about he's a great partner for him in the backcourt and all that kind of stuff, but like, what does this allow Trey's game to do development-wise on the floor?
Yeah, and it's been interesting because a lot of people have been attacking him in terms of, oh, he can't play off the ball, he can't play off the ball. Well, no, I don't know if it's necessarily that he can't, but he hasn't really had the opportunity to. He hasn't really had to. But getting a DeJounte Murray gives him the opportunity to do that. And I kind of – it reminds me of Steph Curry. Let's not play like Steph Curry was this off-the-ball genius from day one of his career. He has evolved into the player that we love to see move so fluidly without the ball. And I believe you can do that when you have somebody like a Klay Thompson or even a Jordan Poole now that's come in and been so successful for them. So I think that's what it helps. It helps Trey to just evolve his game now that he has a player that can give him the opportunity to do more. And this is the other thing. And I say this off air, but he knows I mean it with love. I always say Trey's a little scrappy to me. And if you test him and you say what he can't do, he's quick, he's agile, and he's a smart basketball player. He's got a high basketball IQ. So for whatever his game doesn't have for off the ball, having a DeJounte Murray coupled with his competitive spirit is going to make him elevate and evolve that game.
Yep, that's what we're looking for. But that now, as far as the starting five, as we think we will see it, you have a guy in Hunter who plays great defense.
Yeah.
And we're looking forward to seeing if John Collins comes back and be healthy if we don't deal him, because that's still a possibility. Thoughts about what we may see when they roll things out and this new starting five we're going to look to see here.
Yeah, I really actually liked the fact that as the days kind of led up to what happened yesterday, we heard less and less about DeAndre Hunter in a trade deal and less about if we ever really heard about Onyeka Okongwu. So I actually liked that particular piece. John Collins is still on the table, according to multiple reports. So we'll see kind of how that goes, whether or not that's going to be, you know, who in that space ends up being your big three, if anybody, or if it's somebody else that comes in and becomes a big three. But what I like is keep DeAndre Hunter where DeAndre Hunter is. And if it is a, you know, a JC kind of Onyeka Okongwu kind of going between that four and that five, I think that's a fine starting lineup, especially if this is something that I said last season. And this is kind of me going in the keep JC camp. So kind of follow me with that one. If when the Hawks decided last year that there were no deals on the table that they felt were appropriate enough for them to deal JC, I said, okay, fine. I'm okay with it if we've got him. I want to see what Nate McMillan can do with him for a full season. Did we really get that this year from John? No, his body didn't allow for it.
Really not anybody.
Exactly.
Honestly.
We didn't get anybody, to your point, on that team that really we were allowed to see what Nate McMillan could do with them for a full season. So if by chance they keep John Collins, I'm okay with that because it'll finally give us an opportunity to see one way or the other what he is. And real talk, when you look at the numbers, although I think this is a very friendly deal for the Hawks and it still gives them the opportunity to go after, I know people have thrown out their PJ Tucker or even an OG Anunoby who, hey, his deal with the Blazers blew up, so he's still kind of out there and in consideration. But if they don't happen to get that person, then I think we'll finally get to see what JC might really be about under Nate.
Yeah, well, and I'm interested to see what does happen with that. If John Collins gets traded, if the DeJounte trade is the biggest move they make this offseason, or if there's another bigger move on down the road, like that would be crazy if there's even more to come.
Yes.
I'm glad you brought up Nate McMillan because I do think that that's a very interesting – he's a very interesting part of the conversation. Like, you've got two very good guards now, and theoretically you should have a pretty solid perimeter defensive base with DeJounte Murray and DeAndre Hunter. Like, how much pressure do you think there is on Nate to take all these ingredients and make sure that it works? Like, we got to see something – you have a chance to be very creative with this group.
Yes.
Let's see what you got, right?
Right. Well, when Nate did his press conference, his opening press conference last season, he talked about evolving and having to constantly learn how to deal with this kind of new look player compared to who he was and kind of his old school philosophy, of course, back with his days with the Sonics. And a lot of what he's done is shift. I know people, and I'll give this as an example, just in Nate's, you know, talking about Nate, I don't know if it's in his favor, but anyway, people really wrote him about Jalen Johnson. Mm-hmm. When are you going to put Jalen in the game? In my opinion, Andy and Sam, I feel like he feels a little bit of pressure. I'm not saying on the hot seat, maybe we call it the lukewarm seat, you know, to understand that you've not got, and listen, not just those tools, but you've got Jalen Johnson coming back in a second year, having really grown in the G League, right? You also have an AJ Griffin Jr., should you not give away that pick. You have a lot of resources in addition to DeJounte Murray that you need to utilize. And hopefully, just like the Hawks front office learned a lesson about staying pat with the players that they put on the court, Nate understands, okay, your front office didn't stay pat. You can't either. Mm-hmm. You've got to evolve your philosophy because now you've got two legit all-stars to work with. Put them to work.
Yeah, got to put them to use. I mean, you've got pieces that are so versatile and so creative and so, you know, Trey and DeJounte Murray are so good, dynamic offensive players. There's no excuse for stagnant, boring offense.
At all.
This offense should be one of the most fun, kind of up-tempo, move-the-ball, free-flowing offenses in the NBA.
It really
should. If it's not, we're looking squarely
at one. Yeah, you and I are going to have a different conversation in about 6 or 7 months. And just, you know, one other thing I wanted to share, because I know we got to run, but you know, we think about the fact that, yes, we've got a DeJounte Murray, so that's your big piece, right? And you still have a little bit of room, the Hawks do, to maybe get another big piece. Or even if they decide to get a smaller piece, where would that be? And I legit don't think that there's really going to be a move for big. I'm just being honest. I definitely don't think they're going to get a five. That's just me. But where I do think they could also shore some things up is in getting that backup point guard, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's something we know, of course, they've got bird rights when it relates to DeLon Wright and Lou Williams. But I don't know. I kind of suspect that might have been a swan song for Lou. Mm-hmm. I think DeLon was solid, but I do think you get much more out of Patty Mills, like the Nets saw when Kyrie Irving went down. It was a real steal for them to be able to insert him into the lineup. And when you think about the bench mob and what they were able to do last season, imagine if Patty Mills is there to work with Onyeka Okongwu in that second unit.
Plus, man. Patty Mills, DeJounte Murray, former teammates.
That's what I say. Yeah. 5 seasons together, yep. And DeJounte Murray has always, always spoken so highly of Patty Mills and what he's been able to do. So then you talk about the chemistry piece, again, going back to Nate, and what he's going to be able to do in hitting the ground running with these new pieces. I love it, and I really hope he declined his option. It's only 6.2 mil. Man, listen. Y'all are getting me excited.
I know. Me too. I'm fired up about this now. I'm fist pumping again. Tanitra, excellent.
Yeah, now.
Excellent stuff as always.
Thanks,
you
guys.
Tanitra Batiste there, hanging out with us, talking some Atlanta Hawks. We'll come back. We'll get into the Braves. Braves 3 up, 3 down. 3 good Braves topics every single day at 11:40. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy. Sam Crenshaw filling in for Randy for the remainder of the week. A little salsa dance going on in here in the Kia Studios.
Hey!
It's hard not to. We'll get you a Braves 3 up, 3 down in just a minute. Back into the most important audio in the world, top of the noon hour. Going to play What If, as well as get a little brief Wimbledon update from Sam Crenshaw coming up at 12:20 as well. Also do want to let you know, you can dive into the history and culture of baseball's unofficial rule book. With Unwritten, it's a new podcast hosted by Ron Darling and Jimmy Rollins. Unwritten looks at all the secret and not-so-secret guidelines, the big leaguers, and the rules that they follow during the game. Ron and Jimmy give you a player's perspective on bat flips, beanballs, brawls, and more. Unwritten, new podcast, Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
They talk a lot about that Angels-Mariners game, huh?
Yeah, probably. Do you see the guy, shattered his elbow jumping over the railing?
Whoa.
One of the Angels players is out for the remainder of the season. He got hurt jumping over the guardrail in the dugout to try to get into the fight.
Man.
Yeah, it's not good.
There's some real punches being thrown. And, you know, people talk about baseball fights and how everybody comes around and they kind of say, hey, how's the wife and kids and whatnot, till everybody goes back to the bullpen and the dugout. Those guys were really throwing some things.
Anthony Rendon has to, come off the injured list so he can be suspended for 5 games and then go back on the injured list because he got in the fight while he was injured on the – anyway, yeah, that was, for once, I got a pretty decent baseball fight. No fighting last night from the Braves, which is good. They haven't needed to. They've just been beating the Phillies, and hopefully they can beat them again tonight. Sweep them and go 7-3 in this 10-game stint against these really good teams in the National League. Only three games behind the Mets now as well. Things going really well for the Braves. 21 wins already in the month of June. Chance to set the single-month wins record tonight if they can beat the Phillies with 22. Yesterday we had a conversation, Sam, about the young players on this team that have exceeded expectations, or maybe the most pleasant surprises, guys that you might want to put on that list. You and I both agreed that Michael Harris probably was number one on that list, but you got Contreras and you got Strider. We failed to mention Kyle Wright. We probably should have put him on that list as
well. Yes, we should have. Very much, because of what he's been able to do this season, and he's been the most consistent of the starters to this point. And you probably felt like that would go with some of the other people, especially when you have a player, a veteran like Charlie Morton on your starting rotation. But Wright has seemed to like reach out and just take advantage of it. And the fact that he's won nine games, mm-hmm. you got to be around to be a part of the decision. And that's the thing. He's consistently gotten to the fifth inning or beyond. And, we left him off, but my goodness, what he's doing is an all-star game. Should be in
close.
LA,
yeah, he's got to be on the verge now. Yeah. I mean, maybe you get one more win. I know wins aren't the be-all, end-all the way that they used to be, but you get 10 wins before the All-Star break. I mean, that's impressive stuff. You also look, he's made 15 starts now with his start last night. 11 of the 15 have seen him go six innings or longer.
Yeah.
That's huge. I mean, for a guy that, I don't know what, I read it last night, coming into the season, he hadn't even made 15 starts, I don't think, 14 starts, and only five of them had seen him gone past the fifth inning. So he's taken that step in a major way in his career. And, you know, this is kind of what we thought he would be at some point, being a first-round draft pick and, you know, a highly touted prospect and all that kind of stuff. We just hadn't really seen it. Maybe it was the appearances in the World Series last year that really got his confidence right. I mean, he's clearly – he's really tuned into the fastball-curveball mix that's made him so effective this year. I mean, everything that he's doing is just a lot more consistent. And see him go seven innings last night, only give up one earned run, strike out four. His ERA is down near 3.03 right now, is exactly what you've needed. We mentioned it earlier. He's kind of, if you just take the name off of it and look at the numbers and look at the performance, probably would have thought, okay, that's Charlie Morton. This is what Charlie Morton has done. Yep, if you look at Charlie Morton's numbers, you probably say, all right, maybe that's Kyle Wright, and you might be happy with it. The fact that he's been the second most consistent starter the Braves have had all season, and not to take anything away from him, because Max Fried is a Cy Young candidate. Yep, I mean, Max Fried is probably one of the three best pitchers in the National League right now. For Kyle Wright to be second, Charlie Morton's coming around. Ian Anderson goes tonight. Hopefully we can see him start to really get consistent as well. And Spencer Strider has been one of the phenoms of the league. Good situation right now.
It is.
Starting pitching wise.
It really is. Starting pitching wise. And it makes you think, as you get to the All-Star break and beyond and trade deadlines, we know how busy this team was last year. What is it that you would want to add?
It's a great question.
You know what I mean? I mean, you think about now, because that time is going to be here pretty soon. You thought a couple of months ago there are going to be a lot of things you might think about adding. What a difference a month could make, right?
And
we still got one more game.
No doubt.
What would we add?
I think, and this kind of gets us to our second topic here.
Yeah.
I think with the way the starters have pitched and the fact that, like, I don't know what expectation you're putting on Mike Soroka when he comes back, but he is going to come back. So at least you're going to see him and, you know, who knows? Maybe it'll be awesome. Maybe it'll be a struggle. We don't know. But you are adding that. So that's something. Eddie Rosario is coming back too.
Yeah.
And so that answers the third topic that we'll get to, the dude who's been playing left field the last couple days.
That gets at that.
And you saw Tyler Matzek get upgraded to AAA last night. Mm-hmm. I think he made one appearance in Augusta, and now they've got him in Gwinnett. So these things are kind of taking care of themselves. I think if there's anything I would add, probably be bullpen.
Okay.
Give me another bullpen guy, because right now with all you're dealing with, again, Matzek is still out. You know, Luke Jackson's not coming back. Kenley Jansen for 15 games right now. You know, you can never have too much bullpen help. I would be
right.
if I'm power ranking my needs going into the deadline a month from now. Right now, I'm leaning relief pitcher. What about you?
Okay, that's probably what I'm saying. I mean, Rosario is able to return to form, solidifies your outfield very much. Your infield, I don't know if you need to do anything else there. I mean, right now we happen to do something because Ozzy's out. We expect to get Ozzy back, of course.
Right.
So that becomes an interesting question. What does this team need to look for to shore things up. And it looks like a lot of it is going to take care of itself if guys who are out return healthy.
To use a Chip Carey phrase, it's as good as a trade. You're getting all these guys back from injury. It's as good as a trade. They probably still need to make a move or two, and I wouldn't be surprised if they do. Anthopoulos has a pretty solid history of adding the right pieces at the deadline. Closer by committee the last couple of nights with Jansen out. So far, so good.
Right.
You feel confident about this setup for the next couple of weeks?
I think you got some guys out in that bullpen are probably geeked for the opportunity. You know, they really are. With the team going the way it's going right now, let me add it. So I think the way we're going right now is going to be pretty good. Don't know which ones you would use tonight. If it would be Smith or Minter, maybe we alternate the guys. And also it depends on the order that they're facing. But, you know, so far so good. Let's see if we can maintain that. We got Cincinnati coming up and then the Cardinals when they come back home. Hopefully after that time we'll find out if Jansen will be coming off the IL.
Also help yourself out. Don't make it a close situation or a save situation. Be up by 9 tonight in the ninth inning. And they don't have to worry about who's closing the game.
You
got to
remember who's starting for Philly.
Yeah,
now.
I know. Aaron Nola. He's very good. He's had a couple really good starts against the Braves the last couple of years. Final one here, and this is a little tongue-in-cheek, but also not. We mentioned it yesterday. Nothing good happens when Marcelo Zuna slides in the outfield. And then he did it again. Stay on your feet, man. Like, can we relay a message to them there in Philadelphia? Just get in front of it. Like, no web gems are needed from you. Like, the bat is enough for the most part. Like, just stay in front of it. No more going to the ground. No more trying to come up with any fancy stuff. Just get your body in front of it and stop goofing off out there, Marcel.
But see, he's in the outfield with a couple of guys who do that. You know,
he's inspired by Harris.
He's out there by Harris and Acuna, and they do that, and it's effortless.
Yeah.
It's so effortless.
What's the opposite of effortless? That's what Marcelo Zuna is in the outfield. And then he's dancing in the dugout, and I feel like such a grandpa, but that irritated me, man.
Yeah.
Like, between the innings after he blew that play and he's doing the samba, I mean, I guess he's keeping it light.
Yeah, he's doing what works, you know, to keep it together and shake it off.
Just designated hit him. No more left field for Marcelo Zuna. We'll come back. We'll get to the most important audio in the world to kick off the noon hour. We'll play What If coming up at 12:20. Some damn good questions with Brian as well. Thanks for being with us here on a Trillville Thursday. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.